Hello, hello. Welcome to episode 125 of the Mad Happy Podcast. This is Phineas. I'm doing the intro today as we are running one of our favorite archival episodes, the Maisie Williams episode. This originally was episode 74. This was a big episode for the pod. We had been wanting to have Maisie on the show for a while and finally were able to make it happen. She is obviously very well known for her roles in Game of Thrones and other things, but she just had an incredible perspective on being a child star, you know, coming of age through one very, very famous program and life afterwards. They talk about a lot of mental health related things, personal struggles, and both Payman and Maisie are vulnerable and open, as is customary on this show. It was one of our favorites, which is why we're running it again today. I will step out of the way so that you can enjoy the show. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Maisie Williams.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Mad Happy Podcast. I know we've been trying to do it for a while, so really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Not sure if you've ever listened, but really, like, the gist of the show is, like, we try to tell different people's stories and, like, you know, help continue the conversation around mental health. So we've had almost 70 episodes so far, and it's been great to just, like, hear everyone's story and, like, all the differences in their lives, but how many of, like, the feelings and, like, the things that actually people go through are the same. For you, I'm curious, like, thinking back to when you were growing up, is there a moment that you remember from, like, your childhood of, like, thinking about mental health, even if you didn't know what that was as you were growing up?
Yeah. It's something that I've only very recently decided to, like, open up about publicly. But I had a bit of a strange start in life. My father wasn't really the best role model or protector of myself and my siblings. And we were kind of sort of manipulated into believing that it was normal. And so spent a lot of our childhoods pretty scared and confused and anxious. And so I did have a bit of a strange kind of start. But I guess, like, you know, in becoming an adult and meeting other people and discussing mental health more, I realized that it doesn't really matter what happened when you were a kid. There are a lot of things that, a lot of feelings, either then or now, that, you know, I still have in common with a lot of people. But yeah, I feel like my relationship with my mental health when I was a kid was, I just was very confused. I always felt incredibly anxious and like this feeling of impending doom. And, you know, I was led to believe that nothing was wrong, when in fact, actually, there were a lot of things that were wrong. And so I guess, you know, in understanding that and sort of coming out of that really bad situation when I was about 8, I started to trust my emotions a little more and, yeah, learn to, yeah, kind of, yeah, trust that instinct, I guess.
Yeah. And you grew up as the youngest of 4, if I'm not mistaken, but like, what was your relationship like with your siblings? Like, was it sort of unspoken that, like, you guys were all going through something, like, tough and didn't really realize it? Or, like, were you guys all in it together? Like, do you remember anything about that?
I do. We actually were, like, probably the greatest support for one another. And I have so many incredible memories of playing with my siblings at my dad's house. And not as much at my mom's house, because she was such a great parent. So we would, like, go to our friends or go to birthday parties or whatever. But at our dad's, we were just kind of left alone for hours at a time. And so we only really had each other. And I think that that made us incredibly close. And yeah, I think it was, like, kind of confusing and bizarre for us all. And, you know, now I feel like, yeah, it's kind of brought us even closer, to be honest with you. My family is really everything to me. And yeah, I mean, even as children, it was never a dull moment. There's always someone to hang out with, yeah. Always someone to get into trouble with or blame for the things you've done.
And did you feel like, as the youngest, like, did you feel sort of like lonely in that sense of like, oh, like I'm like the youngest one. I'm sort of like, you know, we hear that a bit actually on the show of like sometimes being an only child or being the youngest one, everyone's doing things, you're kind of isolated. Like, did you have those feelings growing up?
I think when I was a kid, like when I was very young, I used to just worry about my older siblings. Like I wanted to protect them. And then when we kind of came out of that situation and, you know, like being a old child or a young teenager, that sort of period. Yeah. I felt like, you know, my siblings don't want to hang out with me. Like I'm not cool and they want to go and see their friends. And I think that there were times when I would spend a lot of time alone. So there's definitely like a little bit of loneliness, but I think that also is kind of propelled by starting acting and, you know, kind of moving outside of like the typical school dynamic, friends at school and like the social kind of aspect of school and, you know, kind of being fragmented from that as well. So it's probably a combination of things, but yeah, I spent a lot of time on my own and I'm really grateful for it now.
Yeah, I feel like in the moment it feels really hard, especially like being younger and like feeling lonely and not having kind of the tools. But a lot of people share that like they love that time thinking back to it and like it helped them grow a lot. For you, like when you started like kind of developing, when was it that you started developing kind of your own identity of like who you are, what you like and sort of like the things you want to do? Like, was that as you were getting into like acting or... you know, is there a time that you remember that starting to happen?
You know, I've been claiming to have my own identity for like a very long time, but I think it's really, if I'm being completely honest, it's really something that I've felt just like truthful or honest or real in, like, you know, my identity really since like 2020. I think the pandemic, spending that time alone, kind of propelled that, but you know, I've had a real long battle with understanding who I am and being able to feel, you know, confident in any of my desires or just being able to listen to any of my desires and, you know, accept them as pieces of myself and not just like, am I only doing this because that person thinks it's cool? Like, what's mimetic desire versus like what is actually me? And yeah, I feel like that's a long journey to self-discovery.
Yeah, I think we're always on that journey a little bit. But I'm curious, like, do you think it's because, like, why do you think that is, that you felt like it took you longer? Because of, you know, taking an untraditional path, starting to, like, act and kind of go down a path and then feel like that's who you are now because you went down that path and then, like, learning your other interests later on? Or, like, what sort of propelled that for you?
I mean, yeah, perhaps. I think like what I struggled with the most was like doing interviews when I was very young, because you're asked to define your opinions on all kinds of things. And I really felt like, oh my gosh, I need to have an opinion on everything. I need to know what I think, like what I think and feel. And I was like incredibly outspoken, but it
just like what you think people wanted to hear and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. Wanting to be liked, wanting to sound mature, wanting to sound like, you know, eloquent, whatever. And I never really, spending all of this time thinking about my opinions on these things, I never actually figured out what my opinion was on anything, because I think I was just sort of, you know, mimicking what I'd heard before. Yeah, I think like the public image and like the, you know, like the famous actor version of myself was someone that I had to define, but it wasn't really myself.
And like at this time, like what was your relationship with like school? Like how were you going to school and acting? Like were you with other kids or was that separate? Or
yeah, so there were a couple of other younger actors who were on Game of Thrones. So we weren't always acting together, but we had like a setup where they would have a tutor on set for various times. And I would spend quite a lot of time away from school, but it would always be quite fragmented. And to be honest with you, I just had like insane FOMO of school, but also felt like way more alive on set. So it was like this strange balance between hanging out with adults and like being a working person, but, you know, missing out on all of the fun things that teenagers do. Yeah, I felt like there was, I felt like it was the most incredible opportunity, but I felt like I sacrificed a lot, and that was really challenging. I struggled with that. I felt like I missed out a lot.
And what about your friends, like, at from school? Like, how did they react to it as, like, things started to pick up in that sense? Like,
My friendship group were incredibly supportive and excited and just gave me, you know, all of the support, really. And then even when the show came out, I had a friend back then called Emma, and she was like actually training to, well, she was a swimmer, but she was like a, you know, competitive swimmer, and would go to like, would swim basically for hours and hours after school. And I remember her like every Tuesday coming in and being like, I'm so exhausted, but like I stayed up and watched the episode, and like, and just things like that. People were incredibly kind. It was also bizarre and strange, but yeah, people, my friendship group were supportive.
Yeah. And I guess like for you, like how did it evolve? Like starting when you're like very, very young, like 12 or 13. And then like as it continues to grow. And I think like, you know, it obviously took a course of its own that like probably not many people expected for the show from day one. Like how did your relationship both like with the show and like with like the world around you change? Was that just more of like continuing to like, oh, this is me now because like the show's bigger, so like it's even more me now, and like kind of like down that path, or like how did you start thinking about it as you got older and started to like understand more?
It always felt like something that was quite far away, something that was like successful in America, and you know, that being HBO and you know, that sort of thing was pretty meaningless to myself and everyone that I grew up with, and like the town that I grew up in. Like it didn't have the same kind of like impact. So I guess when it started to like get closer and closer and closer and like kind of seep into just like pop culture and like, you know, it's, yeah, I remember like Ed Sheeran tweeted about it and like everyone lost their mind at my school. They were like, this is like insane. Like Ed Sheeran knows about this show that you're in. And I guess that, I don't know, how did it feel? I mean, it was just incredibly exciting. Like I always dreamt of like, I don't know, just big things. I wanted to perform. When I was a small kid, like I always loved making people laugh. I wanted to perform. I wanted to be on stage. Like I did the school plays and things like this. And it's not like there was like a certain comfort in it where I was like, this feels like very natural. This feels like what I'm supposed to be doing. And this is like, you know, makes sense. Even though it is completely bizarre, there was always kind of a base level of like, I really feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. So it was, you know, affirming and exciting and also strange and difficult, but yeah, kind of just like surreal.
I'm sure the Ed Sheeran tweet was crazy. And so like for you, as you were growing up, like did you begin, and you kind of alluded to it, but like did you like acting more, and like it kind of was like, oh, like I do really like this, or like did that ebb and flow at all, or you know, how you thought about it?
Yeah, I wanted to dance, and I did a school play when I was about like, I don't know, 9 or 10, and a lot of the other moms who were like watching the school play came up to my mom and like, you should get her like dance classes or something. And so my mom was like, and I'd kind of been begging her for a long time, but like, you know, being the youngest of four is, and my mom being on her own was like, okay, well, you know, and I want, you know, to I don't know, meet someone cool, but it's not gonna happen. But she did. She got me these dance classes, and that was it. I was like, I want to go to stage school. Like, I want to audition for anything. I want to audition for the funding. And my mom was kind of like, you know, were just really supportive. Like, we always knew at every audition, even if I got in, we couldn't afford to go. So it was just like, well, I have to get the like bursary, or like, I have to, like, I just kind of got to do it. And so I was like very much ready to make that my life when I was like, when I was younger. And that acting was definitely strained when that ended up being the thing that took the lead. And I definitely miss dancing. And then, you know, my dance classes and like the place that I would train then sort of started to fall into that part of my life that I felt like I was missing out on. And I felt like I didn't get to like...
Matt, like take the full potential of it and explore it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that was incredibly strange, but I kind of always knew what the priority needed to be. So yeah, I guess like... And you know what, like looking back now, like I'm glad that my like biggest dream, greatest hobby, like biggest love, biggest freedom release, which is dancing, is like still my own. And it's like not, no one else.
It's not like tainted by like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still like something that I have as like a tool for mental health, for like exercise, for like,
for yourself more than like to sell it, to make money, to like be famous for, and all of those
exactly
things, which take something away from it for sure. That's super interesting, because you know, I feel like it's a lot on like any young person to like go through like whatever, like that 8 to 10 year span of just like so much like information and like, you know, stuff coming into your head of just like you have to keep up, and like you said, like struggling to know like what is actually me, and like who am I without the show? And like, who am I like as just a kid who's 15 or 16? Were there points during that time, or was it not really till after the show that like, you know, you said like 2020 is when you really started to like take a break, obviously like probably not be able to act and like more take care of yourself and learn about yourself. Like, were there times before that like that started to creep in of just like, you would be somewhere and then you'd be like, oh, like this doesn't feel like it's fully me? Or like, how did you experience those things throughout the show?
I definitely felt like I created a persona of like the version of myself that acted and was an actress and like did interviews and did like, I felt like I created this like incredibly charismatic, like bubbly, and like it's sounds funny now, me being like, that's still a part of me.
Yeah.
Being like incredibly charismatic.
Yeah.
but I think it was just like very people pleasing and like entertaining, and it was not relaxed by any means. It was incredibly forced. And then yeah, the other part of myself that sort of lived life and yeah, was kind of like vulnerable and honest and open and confused and like unsure and you know, in ways like kind of scared or and I think that there's like, that's the most relatable part of yourself, really, like showing that vulnerability, you know, because that's the piece that we all reserve for ourselves or the people who love us, but it's like the part that gets in the way of like the joy and the love and the excitement and charisma. So I definitely like kept those two things apart, even though I definitely had a lot of those feelings that would be kind of like typical for like
It's crazy because one, I think everyone has those feelings even when you're older, but you just get better, I guess, like repressing it if like that's where you're used to. But also it's like you grow up, and even for me, like I was born in Italy. I moved to LA when I was 6. So I didn't speak English. I felt kind of like an outsider for like many, many years. And I think it's still a part of me of just like trying to fit in from such an early age and like feeling like the odd one out, not speaking English, all that stuff. And I think you grow up, especially in like middle school, high school, of like trying to be liked by everyone, because you're like, oh, like being like everyone is what it's about. And then obviously, hopefully as you get older, you're like, oh, actually like this is why like I'm cool, you know, and that's why this person's cool. Everyone's unique in their own ways, but we all like experience it the same way. We all have the same like 6 core feelings. We all feel like sadness the same, all of those pieces. And I think it's like, hopefully like as soon as you can in your life, when you like identify like, oh, like who you actually are, what you actually like, and why that's unique and cool for yourself, I think like helps so much more later on. And it wasn't for me to like, I don't know, like even going through college, like I was sort of on this like path of like, you know, I went to a good school, like I was in like going to do like finance and like all this stuff. And like, it wasn't actually until like I got sick, I moved back to LA, and then we ended up starting Mad Happy, that like now through the last 5 years, I've learned like, oh, like I know what I like now, you know, and like, I don't care about X, Y, Z things, but I really care about these things. And I think like, even now it's like a work in progress. Cause like, yeah, like when I'm working, like when I'm like the CEO of Mad Happy, yeah, like I act a certain way, right? Like I still can't always be 100% me, but I think the more you move towards that, just like the more true you're being to like yourself, and like that reflects on everything, you know, like the energy you have, like how you feel, like your mood, all of those things, like your body knows when like you're faking it. And yeah, everyone has to like at different times, and that's fine. And we have different relationships with different people. But I think for me, that's been the biggest thing. And I think it wasn't until I really started therapy like 2 years ago where like I started to realize, oh, like I've never even thought about this stuff ever in my life. Like I never questioned, why do I do things like that? Or why do I do things like that? Which is just like pretty crazy, because like you could go your whole life and like not really like question anything.
Do you feel like you ever felt like ashamed of like yourself or like your, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think like, I think generally speaking, I've always been like very like positive myself. So like I've never really been like that negative towards myself. Like I think the main things have been like I've noticed certain habits and things I do that like, you know, when I'm stressed, whether it's just like mindless eating or like things of that sort, or like being on my phone a lot, things like that, that are just like, then when I do those things, I'm like, why'd you do that? Like, you know, that like you shouldn't be doing that type of thing. That's probably when I'm like most critical about myself. But I think like growing up, like feeling like the outsider piece, I think that played and plays such a bigger role in my life than I initially realized. And I think like, you know, I grew up like in a very like well-off city, like in Beverly Hills, but like, you know, and our family was fine, but like, you're just like looking outside and you're like, oh, everyone has like so much money. Everyone does X, Y, Z things. And then like you develop this like chip on your shoulder, which in some ways is good. Like you want to like do well for yourself, for your family, all that stuff. But there's also like the negative side to it. And until you could identify that and actually talk about it, like you can't ever get past it. So I think for me that's been like the last 2 years. And for me, like, it was always like, I was always into like trying to find like the right person for therapy, especially because like, you know, it's a specific type of like way I think. And like, I'm very ambitious and X, Y, Z things. And like, you have to understand the context of like our company and all of those things. So I don't know. I think that's sort of been it for me. What about you?
What do you mean?
I guess like the part of just like, as you've, you know, you said like maybe like around 2020, like you started to like dig in and like,
yeah,
identify some things like, oh, like, why do I do this thing? Or like, what about this? Like, what was that discovery like?
Yeah, well, I had spoken to a therapist before and I got on very well with her. And it was like definitely a point where everything was like bad, like very, very bad. But I didn't stick with it. It was like a couple of week thing. And then I, you know, made some excuse and was like, okay, well.
What? So when was that? Like around what time?
I probably met her in like 2018 or possibly 2017. I mean, she was incredible. But I think I just wasn't really ready yet. I wasn't really ready to, you know, go. I just wanted to stick a plaster on it. And I think what it was about the pandemic was like, you know, I always kind of managed to blame like any of my mood swings or like just like low mood or like, you know, these patterns, rhythms of behavior. Like I could always be like, well, you know, I'm jet lagged because I just came back from here, or that was, you know, a lot of night shoots. So I probably not, you know, I haven't had a lot of sleep, or I didn't, you know, eat good, or I could always pinpoint it on something. But then I was like, you know, had this period of time where I'm just like at home, like everyone was, and like all of the variables like stopped changing and every day was constant. Every day was consistent. And I was like, so, you know, why am I still because I love being at home. I love being on my own. And like, it wasn't that I wasn't missing, you know, the outside world. I actually was like, this sits good with me, but I kind of still had these things. And so, yeah, I started speaking with my therapist again, and we stuck to it every single.
The same one?
Yeah, I emailed her just being like, you know, yeah, will you have me back? And yeah, then we did. We spoke every single week for about, well, until like now. We've only just dropped down to doing like every 2 weeks, which is like kind of exciting. I was really proud of myself, like passing my driving test or something. Yeah. but it's been incredible. She's she's really just like helped me with everything. Like my life is just entirely different and better, and like I love life now. And I used to just feel not that way, which is such a waste. I've, you know, had such success and, you know, so many incredible opportunities, but just wasn't in a position where I was able to see any of that. So it's been a cool journey.
Well, that's amazing. Yeah, I think it's like funny because you also don't need to be at like your lowest low to like start therapy. And I think for me, like, it was interesting because when I started like January 2021, and I've done it every week since, it was like I wasn't in a low, and I felt like good in that sense, because like you're gonna face downs in your life and you want to be like more ready for them. And I think that therapy just allowed me to like realize a lot of things, learn a lot of things, change some things in my life. And then like when harder times do hit, at least like I've developed this like, you know, better understanding of like who I am. And I feel like that was probably the same for you. And I think the pandemic was a good time for a lot of people, because like it's very easy to like out busy yourself into like hiding the things that like you know are actually there, but you're just like pretending like they're not. And even coming out of it now, it's like it's hard because like everyone's right back to it. But you forget like, oh, this thing that like I was like working on, like I should probably keep doing that, because like it was in my life for like, you know, so many years. I can't just expect like 1 year to like remove everything from the past. And I don't know, for me it's been interesting in that way. And whenever I talk about therapy, that's what I tell people, because I just think it's like a cool practice to have in your life in whatever way you can. And obviously like accessibility and all of those things hopefully will continue to become better, and it's all about the right match with the right person. But that's definitely been really, really big for me. So, yeah,
it feels like it's just kind of building a toolkit.
For sure.
But the thing is like my therapist is like someone that I just, like I don't want to ever lose. So I'm like, and it doesn't mean, you know, I ever have to stop going to therapy, but it's like, the goal is to not speak to one another again. And I'm like, but this is crazy. You've just like, my life was nothing without you.
Yeah, it's great. It is pretty crazy. And I guess like for you, like when did it start? Like, you know, you have like so many interests, but like, when did you start like exploring them outside of acting? And how did that come to be? Like, was that part of sort of this journey of like, I'm not just like an actor?
I felt like just very, very trapped, like towards the end of Game of Thrones, just because like the show was so massive and the publicity was so insane, and every single like word you breathed would be like everywhere. And just like, it felt like I was doing all of this press and, you know, speaking to so many people, but I also just felt like further and further disconnected from like whoever was being sort of portrayed in the media or like whatever. And I also felt incredibly different to Aria. And I, you know, I kind of was like, if that's what I'm loved for, and that's what people want, like, what about all the other things that I want? And I just kind of felt like I needed to like cut ties quite aggressively, and start exploring, you know, myself again. Yeah. And I guess like kind of really did start through like technology, through building a company, through working with my peers and like building something from nothing. Like I felt like I was a piece of like a massive machine on Game of Thrones, but it was really cool to like create something, to start like from the very beginning, to basically enter into a world that I had like no business being in, like what do I know about tech kind of thing. And it was just really nice to like to explore that like beginner or like, I don't know, just like earn the trust or just to learn as well. Like, yeah. So kind of moved into that and stepped away from acting and struggled with a lot of like the auditions that were coming in or projects that were happening and felt kind of disconnected from the sorts of roles that people wanted me to play versus the sorts of roles that I wanted to play. But I didn't really know how to define the roles that I wanted to play. And I guess like, I didn't really think about it at the time, but what I did was just like, I started like living life, right? As an actor, you're kind of like mimicking like people and like, how would you know what it's like to be a person if all you do is like, are an actor who's like famous doing interviews and you never have like a normal conversation with someone or. So in the long game, it was like a really important time in my life. But at the time it was like, why have you just, my team or whatever, you've just come off of the most successful show ever. Like you could do anything you want. And like, why can't you reply to an email type thing? So it was like, it was an interesting time.
And for you, like, did it feel like in some ways you like matured beyond like your age, but then in other, like through the show and everything, but then in other ways, like you were just like experiencing things for the first time of just like, you know, like that weird balance of those two?
Yeah, definitely. Like I had it all figured out, but also like I felt like a completely socially, like, I don't know.
You just like don't have to build like the normal, like even like small talk or conversational skills in like that environment. Yeah.
Like basic level social cues and like, yeah, just there was like definitely a little piece of myself that I was like this, I was very new. Like I've never really done this before type thing. And I just kind of wanted to seek out people that like didn't really have preconceived like, ideas of like what I would be like. So as then like when I was just like myself and kind of awkward at times, but also like, you know, very experienced in other moments and like kind of the, every sort of piece of myself, like I felt like it was okay, right? I didn't have to pretend that I knew exactly what I was doing in the times when I didn't. And I also, didn't weird anyone out by being like a little bit socially awkward.
Yeah, it's so funny. In terms of like how you're thinking about like, you know, relatively speaking, like you're obviously very young at 25 now, and there's so many things you could do for many, many years. Like, I guess at least in this time, like how are you thinking about like splitting your time both like with acting, with Daisy, with everything that you're doing? Like, how do you think about like the work that you're trying to do? Obviously, it seems like it all has like a layer of like impact and those pieces. But like, how do you think about it?
I think right now, like in 2022 type thing, I've definitely like wanted to reconnect with acting in a way that was or like creating in a way that is like healing and meaningful for myself. And I think I've just learned a lot more about my craft recently. And it's been really fun implementing that into this job that I'm doing and a couple of the recent jobs that I've done. Because the thing is with acting, it's like not a 24/7 job. Like there's a lot of time when you're not doing that. And so it's like you wait a long time to like get a role and then you're like, okay, let me try all these things out. And then like 6 months later, 8 months later, years sometimes, it comes out and you go, yeah, that wasn't quite right. Okay, like, let me try something different next time.
Yeah, like the feedback loop is so slow.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been nice to kind of explore acting in this particular role and do it in real time more so than thinking about the outcome. It's more about like the feeling of right now, like what are we building that's real? Like, what does that connect to with myself? Like, what am I channeling in healthy ways versus like just re-traumatizing myself with things I've experienced or seen or whatever. And it's been really fun to, I like feel alive. I'm like, oh, I actually think that like, it's that feeling again, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is who I'm supposed to be. So I think this year has definitely been like a very big acting year in comparison to other years, which have been spent on podcast or you know, companies, advising companies, building companies, I don't know, fashion, whatever. So it's yeah, this time I feel like I've come back to, I've reconnected with like that piece of myself that started it all, right? It's been healing.
Yeah. And does it feel like, yeah, does it feel like the first time that you're acting again that like it feels like it did like earlier on, or just like it feels good in that sense?
It's exciting and like in ways effortless and like honest and vulnerable and all of those pieces of myself that I was too terrified to show, you know, even maybe on camera, in like an honest way, I guess. So yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like doing hobbies, like doing things that come naturally. And yeah, I've loved it. I really loved it.
Yeah, the vulnerability thing is interesting because it's like something that everyone tries to like hold back, but everyone actually wants to share it with each other, but everyone's just scared to like, someone has to do it first and then like everyone else like follows. And it's funny because everyone feels like the same things, you know, it's not mm-hmm. really unique to you, even though you think it is. So
you really get to, I guess, put your like mental health across in the work that you do and like the clothes that you create. How does that feel? Like, how does it feel to release those things?
Yeah. I think like for me, it's like been interesting because like, you know, when we started the company, like, it wasn't like supposed to be like, oh, like this is now like a mental health company. You know, I think it was just like this name, and the name took like this like meaning of its own around like optimism and around like being able to like understand that there's ups and downs in life. And as we started talking about it just through like the clothes, whether it was like the color, or even just the name feels like very powerful. People reacted to it in a way of like, wow, like this hasn't existed before. And like we're, you know, people were sort of looking for that, especially like early on. 2017 was still a time where like celebrities or brands, no one was really talking about mental health yet. And so I think like being early to that like landscape sort of like was like, wow, like there's so much impact to be done here. And it's like still so early in like the mental health conversation and progress and all of these things, and like brands and people are going to play big roles in one, like making everyone realize that it is okay to talk about, two, trying to like fund cool and different projects that like help push the space forward, and then three, just like put it in this light of like, oh, just like we talk about going to the gym, we could talk about working on your mental health. And so for us, like as we start to do that, it coincided with like of a journey of like myself of just like, oh, like, yeah, well, I would like to try therapy. And like, what is that experience like for me? Or, oh, like I understand some of the things that like are better for me and my mental health now than I did before. And I think they were sort of, together, because I think like it isn't until like you actually have to like think about it for yourself that you can begin to like act on it. And because we're so involved, like, or we try to be involved in the space as much as we can, even through like this podcast, like, you know, I share stuff that I'm like, oh, like I never would have shared that like 3 years ago or 4 years ago. And so I think all of them just like push all of us to grow and try things and be vulnerable, like you said, and be able to like both see the company side and see like the brand side and all of that, and like see like the product come out through that, but also like the personal side of like who we are and learning more about ourselves as each year goes on. And I think like because of the company's mission and everything we do, I think it like helps us accelerate that a little bit more, because like you have to also like try your best to like walk the walk and learn and everything and grow from that.
So do you feel like your own mental health journey and like the kind of shift of Mad Happy, you know, being in that space, do you think that they've like really accelerated at similar times? Or do you feel like there's been ebbs and flows where like your own mental health journey's had to take over, or like?
Yeah, I for sure ebbs and flows, because like at the end of the day, like regardless of like what the company does, like starting a company is really, really hard, you know, for everyone, anyone, anywhere. And so like that part of it, like even now, you know, it's like there's, as the company grows, as there's more people, like the pressure does build, and like you get better at handling that. but it is a startup in its essence isn't like the most balanced thing you could do for your mental health, right? And so it's like you have to find the right path for yourself, and sometimes that means like, oh, like I've been working so much recently, like I need to wind it down a little bit to like focus over here, and vice versa. Like sometimes you're like, I know that like this might like take a hit to my like mental health or like my overall thing, but like I really believe in this company and I really want to like give it its best chance to be successful. And I think that like we don't shy away from saying that, like even for like our employees, like we do our best around everything mental health, but also it's like it's a startup and like we don't have 5,000 employees and like everything's not like cut and dry. Like there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be times that it's harder. And I think like the meaning of like the work that we're doing, I think we're trying to like lead with that. And for me now being 5 years in, I think I'm a lot better at it now, but I think it's just, it's an ever like evolving process, you know, because you grow as a person, the company grows and then things change.
I really love what you just said about like, you know, if you really want to focus on your mental health, then like being in this, like creating a startup and such, is like, it can be
not the best way.
Yeah, right, right. So like, you know, there's ways that you can balance it. And would you ever like stop doing it all, or like stop doing Mad Happy, like to like completely like go inward and fix your mental health?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I think for me, it's like, you know, it's hard to know like how long like we'll be doing the company ourselves. And like, you know, there's a chance that like we do this for the next 50 years, or there's a chance that like, oh, there's a great opportunity for someone to buy the company. It's hard to say. I do think that like at some point I will need some sort of like break. So even if that means like we continue to run the company, like, yeah, I will need to like turn off for a bit and like recenter and all of those pieces for sure. Like even if I want to start another company in the future, like there would have to be like a year or two period where like I'm just like re-figuring things out. And I also have so many other interests as well that like obviously like time is limited in figuring out and in exploring when you're working so hard on something. So I think like for sure, like the act of, you know, pouring a lot of energy into something for so long, like you do need a recharge at some point, or I think most people do. And especially a startup, especially like something that like, you know, even like acting or sports, like things that are like highly scrutinized and like looked at by so many. And that's why I think like athletes take time away now. It's just like that does like have an impact on you. And even if like you can manage it, and even if you have better balance and good habits, I still do think that like fully being off is really important. And something that I'll definitely need at some point.
Yeah.
but we'll see. Hopefully.
No time soon.
Yeah. Hopefully not yet. But yeah, two questions we ask everyone as sort of like final questions are, mm-hmm. One, if there's anyone, like, is there anyone that like you've been really inspired by, like they've had an amazing story or journey that like you think would be an amazing guest to have on the show? If so, who would that be?
Well, yeah, I have found like Matthew McConaughey to be someone that's like been incredibly helpful in this journey. Like, not that it makes it sound like I've spoken to him personally. Yeah. I haven't. I just read his book.
Yeah, it's a great book.
It's a great book.
Yeah, he would be great.
But I think that it's incredibly vulnerable, and it's incredibly like reassuring and like affirming to like hear someone who is like as successful as Matthew McConaughey, and like he's like the guy, he's like the all-American guy, and like, and for him to just speak so vulnerably and so honestly about his journey and how successful he was, but also how like deeply unhappy he was with his career, and like, you know, and the things that he did to change that, like I think that he's a very inspirational person, and yeah, he'd be a great person to chat with.
Totally, that's an amazing one. And finally, Maisie, what makes you mad happy?
Honestly, so many things. My dog.
Wow. What kind of dog?
He's a Shih Tzu. He's called Sonny, and he is quite a little nightmare. And I kind of just, I just love him for it. He's
Yeah. Is he with you in Paris or no?
He's not. No, he doesn't travel with me. I think he would get very miserable. It would be such a selfish thing for me to do. And that's also why he makes me so happy, because like he has his own little personality. You know how dogs are like, they just love you forever. I don't think that my dog, he's like, you know, it's got to be on my terms. And he's taught me a lot about putting up boundaries and getting what you want. yeah, my dog.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know that you're super busy, so means a lot. And I think everyone's really, really going to enjoy the episode. Thanks for sharing everything you did. And hopefully we cross paths soon in person and get to do just a normal conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everything that you guys do. The clothes are sick, but the podcast is very special.
Yeah. Thank you, Maisie.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you guys so much for listening. Really hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, one, now that, you know, we're listening to it again, it really was a good one. Really, really glad Maisie came on. Really appreciated her sharing everything she did. And hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And you'll hear from us next week.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.